Our gospel for the second Sunday of Easter comes to us from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, this story here from John is what happens later in the day. In the morning, the women go, find the tomb empty. Mary Magdalene has an experience of, you know, the risen Christ, and they go back and they tell the disciples. And John and Peter race to the temple, race to the tomb to see if it was true. And it's actually, they literally race, and it specifies the fact that John beat Peter. You can tell who probably had a say in how this gospel was written, and it wasn't Peter. But then they go back. And obviously the news was not supportive enough for them or encouraging enough for them, because this is what they're doing later that day. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, there's some big event, I guess, tomorrow in parts of the United States and other parts around the world. You know, there's this really big event. In fact, some people road tripped to go see it if they weren't in the path of the eclipse. You know what it's called? Going where the sun don't shine. Now, if someone tells you to do that, now you know where to go. I guess it's Houston or something like that. Now, my son has, you know, he was a little confused when he was hearing about the eclipse. So he said, "Dad, so can you tell me what an eclipse is?" I said, "No, son." Now, in honor of, you know, I discovered something very interesting. You know, there's not a lot of stories post-resurrection for Jesus. And I figured out part of the reason. There is an argument that Jesus moved to China. After all, it was Easter. North, south, east. You'll find it funny later today, don't mind. And then there's... And then, you know, Thomas is noteworthy in many ways, but, you know, a lot of people think that Thomas and his insistence on seeing the marks of the nails and the hole in Jesus' side was, you know, because he didn't trust the fellow disciples. Well, actually, as I understand it, he just really wanted to verify for himself that Jesus truly was a holy man. Think about it. Go back east. You know, it's like, the only problem is if I do this, too much, I feel like I'm doing the Macarena. But here we are at the usual service, the usual lesson right after Easter, and Thomas makes his appearance, and we have this eclipse. And there are evangelical Christians across the country, not around the world, just across the country, who are going nuts. Because tomorrow that means the world's going to end. Because it's an eclipse. And I'm like, what about in 2021? What about in 2018? What about the one that was 5 years before that? Or the several thousands that have occurred since the death and resurrection of Jesus? No, but it's this one, honest. Okay, my hole punch card for the end of the world has no more punches left because there's no card left. What in the blazes is going on? Well, we figured it out. The world's going to end with this eclipse because we figured this out. A couple of us calculated together. Why is this a uniquely American phenomenon? One. And two, why is it that the same people who tell me that I need to take this more seriously, that this is literal, word for word, the inherent word of God, inerrant word of God. And somewhere in here, somebody by the name of Jesus said, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth knows the end of the world, only the Father knows. But somehow, somebody on earth figured it out. What's the point? What's the point of telling people the world's going to end? Is it really life-giving? Is it encouraging? Is it supportive? Is it uplifting? Is it somehow pointing to Jesus in some powerful and productive way? I'm still trying to figure this out. What's with this secret that somehow certain people have able to figure out that this is when the world is going to end, when Jesus said he didn't even know? No offense. If someone is telling you they know more than Jesus, you might want to take a couple of big steps back. And isn't it amazing that sometimes, and I keep throwing them out. I really should keep one because it's just for giggles. I got this letter addressed to me from this interesting televangelist. We'll leave it at that. That said, the Lord has come to me and given me a word of wisdom concerning you. And if you only sow a faith seed of $49.95, I will impart that word of wisdom to you. Now, I find it funny that someone who takes scripture, supposedly takes scripture so seriously, overlooks one of the few things that is in common between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that is what Jesus did to the people who monetized God and made money an access point to God. If God gives you a word of wisdom to give to a neighbor and you withhold it in lieu of cash, I think tables are going to get tossed and something's going to get flogged. Just call it a hint. I see it four times in here. One would say that's a trend. That's a mark of consistency. The world is not ending, just the grass is falling. Luca, you are a pill, and you are loved, and you are loved. Yes, and that's not a secret, that's no hidden wisdom. That shouldn't be his hidden wisdom for anybody. But sometimes we treat faith And some treat faith like hidden wisdom. When is the world going to end? What's going to happen? What's the magic prayer? What's the thing I'm supposed to do? And that's what brings us back to Thomas. Thomas might be someone, if you've read all four Gospels, you might realize Thomas is an odd character. Now, if you read all four Gospels, you'll realize that Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of look like they cribbed notes off of each other, okay? They're the synoptic Gospels. They're very similar in format, layout, things that happened, things that didn't happen. Some teachings and words of, you know, words of proclamation from Jesus. John seems to be its own entity. Like John was off in the corner writing it himself while Matthew, Mark, and Luke were working on a group project. But one of the big differences between John and the rest is the fact that John is later. It's the latest. And we know it's the latest. Why? Notice that Jesus never talks about the Sadducees and the temple police or the temple rulers in John. Notice that Jesus, when Jesus talked, there's one of the things that happened in the man born blind where it says, for we, you know, the parents of the man born blind admitted the fact that because they had heard that it had been decided that anybody who confessed the name of Christ, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. That happened at the Council of Jamnia in 80 AD. The temple was destroyed in 70. This is after the fact. But one of the things that's also amazing is the fact that Thomas all of a sudden has speaking parts. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you go, oh, Thomas. Yeah, I think that name is in the list. Yes. And in John, he speaks almost more than Peter does. What? Wait, what? Why all of a sudden he's so promised? All right, well, we're all into conspiracies, right? Like the eclipse being the end of the world and all that kind of fun stuff. All right, good. Have you heard the one about how the Vatican suppressed a whole bunch of writings about Jesus and won't let them come out to the public? Have you heard that one? The forbidden books of the Bible that you can see a History Channel exclusive on right next to Ancient Aliens and Ice Road Truckers. Whatever happened to History Channel? Went the same direction as MTV, but, you know, hey. You might have heard those kinds of things because there was a whole bunch of books that didn't get into the scriptures. But to blame it on the Vatican makes it this wonderful little conspiracy because this happened long before there was, quote unquote, a Vatican. But one of these books was Thomas. There was a Gospel of Thomas, a Gospel of Mary Magdalene, an infancy narrative of Jesus, all these different things. And the Gospel of Thomas has some really interesting sayings and stuff like that that you'll find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it also has some things like Jesus cursing a child who was a bully and killing him. Making animals out of the clay and setting them to life. Cursing someone else and withering their arm. Raising a dead friend. You know, these are all the things. Wait a minute, what? And a whole bunch of other things that basically said, and if you want to know more, come and join us, and we'll let you in on the secret. Thomas and most of those other books are known as Gnostic stories. The Greek word gnosis means knowledge. And he's seeking knowledge. He's going all over the place. What's over here, Mom? Yep. It means knowledge. But here's the thing. It wasn't just knowledge that was out for anyone else. You had to be a part of them. You had to go in and learn the secret handshakes, the secret prayers, the secret code signs, and everything else like that. Because really, fundamentally, the truth of Jesus is hidden from you unless you're part of the select few. You need to know that so you can get in. Now, read the Gospel of John and notice that every time Thomas opens his mouth, he says almost exactly this, I don't know, or I don't understand. The Gospel of John was written afterwards as a corrective to this desire for us to all of a sudden just be, Well, there's this secret knowledge, and this is a small elite group, and only certain people are going to go to heaven because you have this super secret knowledge, and it's not for everybody. How do I know that this is again trying to correct Thomas? Read again the gospel that we read today. Again, Thomas questions and he doesn't know. He won't believe. And you're coming up here. Hold on, I got him. Come here. Come here. Come here. Oh, now he's going to take off on me. Come here, Luca. Can you come to me? Come here. Come here. I'm going to hold you up because if nothing else, people pay more attention to me now because you're cute. Right? All right. So look out and say hi. No, don't, because you'll drop that on my toe. I know how that goes. Is there secret knowledge? No. For God so loved the world. If the stones are silent, you know, if the disciples are silent, the stones would cry out. This is written so that you may believe. The purpose of all of this is to understand the fact that there is more to our life and more to our faith than fear and death. We're not about the end of the world. Because, yeah, that's a given. But notice how much Jesus talks about the end of the world or the afterlife. Very little. Instead, it's more of like, well, receive the Holy Spirit. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. In other words, not only is this something that is not some super secret power, this is something that's given to all of us for the reconciliation and love of the world. When we can forgive and let go. Right? When we can just accept the fact that God loves us just as we are. And how do we know that? We have a God who's got nails in his hands and a hole in his side and holes in his feet. The fully human, fully divine God is in our midst. And so the ability sometimes to rise again, even when your body is still bearing the scars of the previous day, be it in our hearts, in our minds, even on our bodies, the gift of rising again. And in some cases, probably with you, again and again, at, let's see, 2 a.m, 4 a.m, 6 a.m, you do that? Or do you let mommy and daddy sleep? Unlike my son. We have the capacity to rise. We have the capacity to live again. Why? Because we have a God who lives again, who rises again, who shows us the fact that we have through the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to us, not earned, not deserved. We can rise again and try again and learn again. And even when we have our doubts and we don't understand and things get screwed up and we try and something doesn't work and we have to try it again, the gift of reconciliation, the gift of love, the gift of rising again, even with our scars, is a gift that's given to all of us. And we can show and share that in a variety of ways. Even through an energetic little one, right? Yep. Good look. I like the way you're looking up at the cross. That's a reminder where we can look. And then realize, as you look up on the cross, he's not there either. He's out. Walking with us, working with us. Loving us and showing us and giving us new life. And so even if we doubt it, he'll go. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have those experiences and those opportunities like Thomas. Please note, Thomas is the first of Jesus' disciples who proclaims him my Lord and my God. May we be able to have those experiences too as we look to our Lord. And remember, it's no secret. God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Amen. Amen, Luca. Yes.